And welcome to your podcast, episode 50. And today I got a special guest host, Jeff Heintz, who's the chief growth officer for Raw Voice and Blueberry. We don't hear from you too much, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, Mike. Great to be on the show. How you doing?
Oh, just fine. And like I said, since Todd is on his East Coast swing still, and I figured let's get some of these other voices in here that you don't hear too much. Jeff is one of the original podcasters from way back when. You did, what is that, Friday Night Dance Party, isn't it?
That's right, Friday Night Dance Party. I've been doing it since 2006.
Ah, very good. And yeah, I used to listen to that, and I haven't lately for whatever reason. But, well, very cool. Hey, there's some big news going on in the world here of podcasting, or at least a big rumor. It seems that Spotify may be in talks to buy Gimlet Media. Have you heard anything about that?
I did see that come out over the weekend, which was interesting that it did come out over the weekend, and that none of the larger marketing and media trade press have picked it up. It's more of a tech discussion point, and the Wall Street Journal also picked it up. So I'm curious as to see what really is going to play out with this. You know, Wednesday, Spotify is having their earnings report and their board meeting on Wednesday. So we'll see if that has any influence on a decision to move things forward, or if they're just using this for some type of ploy in a bigger picture. So, yeah, overall, I think that it's interesting. You know, Gimlet Media is a great company. You know, they've done a fantastic job over there producing podcasts and taking content that was traditionally more for your radio NPR format content and pushing it out in a serialized version to give consumers, you know, opportunities to really engage and get involved with drama and suspense and the overall storytelling of podcasting. You know, the company's been doing very well. They've been around for, I guess, 4.5 years, since 2014. You know, they've got a huge staff. They're actually right around the corner from my house here in Brooklyn. I've been over to their offices a couple times, and it's pretty great environment, nice setup. Alex and the team do a great job. You know, they run a lot of host read ads. They do a lot of creative things from an advertising perspective. They're always sold out, which is, you know, nice to see that someone's getting, you know, value for the content that they're producing. And they do host read ads that are really integrated into the storylines. Some people love them, some people don't love them, but I think they're very forward thinking and innovative. And how they approach it. And a lot of times you feel like the ad is part of the story. So that's been, you know, kudos to them. So, and they, you know, they were on CBS Sunday Morning a couple of weeks ago talking about podcasting and the long tail and the growth of crime dramas and suspense and fiction. And so they've been getting a lot of publicity just for Gimlet itself. So they're very top of mind in the space. And then how does that relate to Spotify? You know, Spotify is looking to continue to garner the overall share of digital consumption, a share of screen, a share of audio for consumers, share of platform, and in it more of an ecosystem fashion, similar to Apple and, you know, the likes of Google and Microsoft. And I think this is just one more play for them. A little suspect, though, as to what they're going to do with it. You know, they've had fits and starts with putting podcasts on Spotify, and they started, you know, being just the platform and the distribution channel, but now actually coming in and going after content production and ownership of content is very interesting and unique. You know, they put out a lot of music series, and that's what they're known for, and they do a lot of recording at their offices here in New York City and in Los Angeles as well. They do a lot of things on the road, and they have a lot of exclusives that people tune in for, and a lot of artists release tracks and music that is unique to Spotify as well. So are they going to be doing that with podcasts and only distributing them on their platform? So the other podcast services will not be featuring them. You know, that's interesting to see what may happen there. An advertising perspective, I think that it could go in a number of different directions. You know, Gimlet Media, while being sold out to the tried and true podcasting buying audience. I think that they would be looking to garner a greater share of ad spend from television advertisers. You know, if Gimlet was talking about wanting to be the HBO, you know, of podcasting, they could branch into audio and / video, and Spotify could help them get there, both with distribution as well as a much larger brand recognition at the marketing and advertising agency level, where it would be easier to sell in a Gimlet podcast in a Spotify advertising package, as opposed to Gimlet going out on their own and trying to garner some share of advertising expenditure. So I think that's a smart play for both, to create some synergy there and try and get a greater share of listener. Just some thoughts from what I've seen and what I know about the space and the marketplace. What are you thinking, Mike?
Oh, yeah. That's, like I said, it's good to hear your perspective, since you're literally so close to them over there. And, you know, the thing about Spotify that I find, you know, from the tech support and, you know, being on the company side, you know, that has to deal with them, it seems to me that they're still sort of trying to find their way. So if this is indeed, you know, what they're going to do, you know, acquiring Gimlet or whatever other company, at least they're going to be acquiring some knowledge as well. And I think that'll be very handy for those of us that want to have our shows on there.
I would agree. I mean, if you look at Spotify, you know, they're still competing with Apple. They're still competing with, you know, Pandora to a certain extent, but that may not be for much longer. So any of the other music services. So they're looking for ways to broaden their content offering and create something that is original and exclusive. And I think they're looking at places like Hulu, right, where you see the content being produced out of Hulu that continues to win awards, continues to garner greater share of voice among, or share of viewership among television audiences. So that's a model that, you know, audio can definitely benefit from. And if Spotify in itself does want to start flipping into video, and Gimlet does want to fulfill that promise of being the HBO of podcasting, video, you know, seems like a logical next steps.
Right. And they've tried a couple times with television series and with varying success, and wish them well. And, you know, if the going price is what the rumor is, wow. So good for Alex and the team over there.
Yep, I would agree.
So let's see, next on our little rundown here is one of our Blueberry podcasters has scored a big interview with Jonathan Frakes. If you're a Star Trek Next Generation fan, he was Commander Riker, and he also is a director, and he's directed a lot of Star Trek. He's directed the new series, The Orville. And it was really quite good. I listened to the episode, and it's more like Jonathan is a co-host along with the rest of the Nerd On crew. So good on them.
Yeah, that's awesome to see. Yes, definitely. Kudos to those guys for scoring that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a very interesting episode, and I think they gained a subscriber. I'll have to go back and listen to some of their other episodes, but very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Definitely.
Go check that out. We'll have links in the show notes over at powerpresspodcast.com. So, Jeff, since we haven't heard from you on any of these podcasts in 50 episodes, let's hear a little bit about what Jeff Heintz is all about.
Right. Well, as we mentioned earlier, you know, I started a podcast in 2006, Friday Night Dance Party, and it was and continues to be a weekly music podcast featuring music that you can dance to, whether it be funk, soul, rap, hip hop, even rock and roll. You know, Mick Jagger's got some moves out there. So, you know, I found some cuts that make sense across the years. And it's given me an opportunity to go out and meet bands, do interviews, you know, be part of the podcasting community, which is how I got involved with Raw Voice and Blueberry back in 2007, met the guys and felt that there was a need for, you know, some type of engagement involvement on my end from a community perspective and an outreach perspective. I spent a lot of my time in the early days going to pod camps and the like, you know, from Montreal to Boston to Toronto to Philly to New York, a lot of the East Coast shows here over the years. People probably saw me at those events, and we had a fantastic time. And I continued to contribute to the Raw Voice Blueberry success story with my background in marketing. I'm a 30-year advertising agency experience, primarily in media planning and buying. And I've recently been able to spend more time with Raw Voice and Blueberry and help them from an enterprise level, going out and meeting with clients regarding our Raw Voice stats and trying to push the needle to make us the standard, if you will, the Good Housekeeping seal of approval for podcasting measurement. And it's been going fantastic. It's great. You know, people are very receptive, and you know, it's definitely a conversation worth having, you know. And as I mentioned, I'm here in New York City. Manhattan is where we have an office space, and in Brooklyn is where I live. And it's all good, you know. That's a little bit about me.
Yeah, that was one of the things. A lot of our Columbus office employees weren't exactly sure that you actually existed. So that was pretty cool yeah. that you've been getting more involved, you know, in the with the rest of us. And it's been good to have you around again. So awesome. And hopefully we'll move the needle on the stats, because that is a big thing to a lot of podcasters and especially a lot of enterprises.
Oh, definitely agreed.
So anyway, Roadcaster, I hear you have one at your disposal. What do you think of that device?
I thought it was fantastic dynamite out of sight, to use a catchphrase from my Friday night dance party. It is really a nice piece of kit. You know, it's simple to use, even for someone like me. Even though I've been podcasting for over 10 years now, I'm still a little bit of a Luddite when it comes to the technology, and I try and keep things as simple as possible. I'm pretty much just, you know, a MacBook plug and play with a USB mic guy normally, and I used to use Cast Blaster, if you remember that.
Oh yeah.
Piece of hardware or software, but now I'm using Adobe Audition, which is fine, but there is a lot more to Audition that I don't even play with. But the Roadcaster Pro is just really simple, and you know, it's got inputs for four different mics. It's got great output. It's got levelers. It's got the ability to do your mixing. It's got a fantastic sound that comes out of it, you know. And I was using it with some Shure microphones. And
that sample you sent out sounded really good. I was impressed.
Yeah, it was just really, really pure and thick and heavy and had a nice vibe to it. And there's not a lot to play with on the deck itself from a recording perspective, so you don't have the opportunity or the inopportunity to get confused and try and figure out what you're doing. It's almost automatic. It's effortless. And I know Todd was checking it out as well, and he seemed to think it was, he actually got one. He loves it.
Yep.
It's basically, you know, it's just built. I think it's built for podcast production, which is what they're claiming it is. You know, it's one of the nicest things I've seen out there in the marketplace. And the size is fairly respectable. It's not much bigger than a big laptop. And like I said, I think the ease of use and just the output sound quality is just amazing. Yeah, highly recommend it. So I just, you know, plug the mic into it, plug the computer into it, and you're good to go. You know, I was using a couple of different pieces of software to try out different recording formats, and I used one mobile software that I sent to you, Mike, and then I used my Audition for another bit, and that worked just as well and sounded just as great, and it gave you that nice studio quality that I don't always get from with my simpler gear and tech. So if someone's looking to upgrade and get something a little bit more professional feeling and sounding without all of the complication, I think it's a great, great piece of hardware.
Yeah, it definitely sounded decent. And Todd and Rob did the new media show this weekend, and Todd was on his Rodecaster Pro, and it sounded awesome from, you know, he's in a hotel room. I think he was using an ATR mic, you know, so it doesn't take, you know, a whole lot of extra gear to have a full production studio, you know, basically in one box. It kind of reminds me of that thing Adam Curry was trying to pull together last year. I'm glad somebody did it. You know, it's going to be awesome. I'm thinking about getting one myself. It would be great, you know, for portable or even, you know, switch out all this pile of stuff I have here. But you mm-hmm. never know, you mm-hmm. know. But I enjoy my pile of stuff, so that's all good. But one thing about Rodecaster is they're constantly improving it. And one of the criticisms I had heard, you know, from people that had gotten them is that it doesn't have multi-channel recording. And, you know, personally, I don't do multi-channel recording, but I can understand the need to do it, especially if you're doing interview podcasts or whatever. And it sounds like later this month they're going to be coming out with the software version 1.1.0, which will have multi-track recording. So they're listening.
Okay, good, good.
So you'll be able to update your device when you when they come out with that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with one of those. I have a request in for a test unit, and it might have to be bought instead of sent back if it is really as good as it is. You know how it is.
Or just forgotten about it. What test unit?
Yeah, I didn't know. What are you talking about? I never saw that before. Anyway, so other than that, the Rodecaster's a good value. It's a little expensive. I mean, you know, granted, it's a little expensive, but just remember, you don't have to worry about mix minus. You don't have to worry about, you know, buying all the cables. You know, all you need is a, you know, whatever to hook up your microphone and your microphone, and you're good to go.
Yep.
So anyhow, Todd and I are going to both be speaking at the PodFest Expo. That's March 6th through 9th in Orlando. So go check that out if you're in striking distance. It's a very worthwhile expo. I was there last year. Mackenzie and I were, and this year Mackenzie, Todd, and I will be there. I think you guys all went the year before that, or you had your board meeting down there or something. I forget what it was, but yeah. Anyway, it's a great smaller kind of regional, but Chris is really trying to spread that out to be more national. So go check it out, podfestexpo.com. And they have a lot of good speakers there, including Todd and myself. So let's see. We got to get into the support thing. You know, I don't want to sound crotchety, but sometimes, you know, you just got to get the word out. And a lot of times I get people that, you know, are customers or potential customers or, you know, just users of our PowerPress software or a plugin that will try to move to a different platform. But what they do is they move first and then they worry about trying to keep their subscribers. And you really have to do things in the right order. If you're going to move from one feed to another, you have to replicate that feed first, then do the redirect, and then move. Because if you do it out of order, you'll lose contact with your subscribers. And yes, I know you can go to Apple and you can change the feed address at Apple, but that doesn't get all your current subscribers. What people don't remember is that, or don't realize, is that nobody's subscribed to anything at Apple. They're subscribed directly to you. And this has been a, you know, Raw Voice Blueberry thing from the beginning. Just, you know that, you know, you own that RSS feed and that's what they're subscribing to. They're not subscribing to anything at Apple. Apple is just merely pointing people at your feed, and they're using Apple software, or, you know, not always Apple. I mean, there's a whole bunch of others. We always say that over and over again. There's way more places than just Apple. I mean, they're the big kahuna. But anyway, just know that you need to do the redirect. That's, you know, if you're moving, you know, do that first. And if you have any questions, please contact us at support first. It's a lot easier to do it right the first time than it is to try to fix it. So let's see here. Yeah, and along that same lines, I'm getting a lot of people asking, you know, hey, I published my episode at 8 o'clock. It's now 9 o'clock. Why isn't it in Apple yet? And I know we keep beating this dead horse, but again, Apple pulls your feed into their directory. So, you know, once you publish it, it can be up to 24 hours. It normally isn't. It could be, you know, 4 to 6. I don't know. What's your experience, Jeff, as far as how long it takes to get into the directory at Apple?
Oh, it, I mean, this was a long time ago. So it was fairly straightforward, when I did it. But then for each show that you publish, it takes, 8 hours.
Yeah.
For me, I guess, you know, overnight, you know, I pop it in there and the next morning it's usually ready to go. So.
Yeah. That's what people don't quite understand, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of moving parts here. So, but just know that when you publish something in your feed, if you subscribe to it, so if you're worried about Apple or Google Podcasts or any other app, subscribe to your own show in that app. And if it's not caching, like Spotify caches, everybody else doesn't. So if you get that episode fairly quickly, you know it's working, even though it may not be listed in these directories, you know, in your directory listing. If you get it, it's working, and it just takes a little while for them to update their listing. It's just a snapshot of your feed the last time they looked at it. So let me see here. And then the last little thing we've got on the list here is my PowerPress settings series here. I know we already talked about the Apple tab and the feeds tab. And today we're going to talk about two, since they're sort of linked together, the website tab and the destinations tab in PowerPress. And what the website tab is just that. It's what PowerPress shows on your website, on your post. So it'd be, you know, what links that they have for, or what links, you know, that is shown, what the player looks like, where the player is positioned, and, you know, what media links and subscribe links are under it. And the main thing I want to talk about is subscribe links. You guys can figure out, you know, if display download link and, you know, and all that stuff. That's part of the media links. But the important part is the subscribe links. I get a lot of tech support questions like, well, I clicked the box that said subscribe on TuneIn, but I don't see my subscribe on TuneIn link in the under the player. Well, the problem is that we've got it in two different places. Now, we are working on making this a little easier, so bear with us. But as it currently sits, say you submit to TuneIn, all right, you get approved at TuneIn, then you wait a day or so because it takes them a little while to get it in the search, and you go to tunein.com, and you search for your show. You find your listing. You copy that TuneIn listing URL out of the browser, out of your browser, copy that into the TuneIn listing URL there in destinations, save your settings, make sure on the website side, website tab, you've also got TuneIn turned on. And that's really all there is to it. It works the same for all of them. Apple is on by default. Android is on by default. Now, Android's pretty automatic. As soon as you have a feed, that subscribe on Android service works. Subscribe via RSS. I highly, highly, highly suggest that you leave that turned on. Even though when you hit that RSS button, weird things may happen. That's meant for machines, not humans to look at. So it will look like a bunch of code in at least the Chrome browser and I think in the Microsoft browsers. And, you know, people get confused about that. All it is a bunch of code. Well, that is what it is. But what that does is it allows the search engines to find you. And, subscribe by email is a service for listeners. That's another one that confuses people a little bit. This is not a replacement for an email newsletter. So if you have an opt-in to a newsletter, you may not want to use subscribe by email. Subscribe by email is just a service for your listeners. So it's like, to think of it as an app that's based on email. And basically people use that app to subscribe to multiple podcasts, and then they get a digest every day of all the podcasts that were posted that day that they're subscribed to via email. So it's kind of different than what it seems. So like I said, if you have MailChimp, AWeber, any other sort of opt-in email, you may or may not want to use subscribe by email. Google Podcasts, that's another one that confuses a lot of people. And the reason is that Google Podcast is based entirely on Google search. So even though that link may show up when you first start, it may not work. It may come up 404. And the reason that is your site hasn't been indexed yet with an RSS feed in it. Hence, you want to leave that subscribe via RSS link on. And you can leave the Google off, you know, Google link off until you are indexed. It generally takes a couple of weeks to a month is the longest I've seen for your show to get indexed by Google. And then, of course, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify are all sort of the same. You know, once you have a listing there, you just plop the listing address in the destinations tab. And again, Jeff, I know that sounds complicated that it's in two different places, and we are working on that.
I think that it's not as complicated as it sounds.
Oh, I know. And hopefully we'll get it to where that they'll be in one place where you enable the link and have the link go in there. And one other thing I wanted to mention about Google Podcasts. In the Destinations tab, there is a modify checkbox for the Google listing URL. And what that's used for is, say you switch from HTTP to HTTPS or something like that, you can go to Google and there is a, I think if you just Google the Google Podcast link generator and you put in your RSS feed, you can possibly get a different link to stick in that Google listing URL that will work. So that's another alternative there if you want to give that a try. So anyway, that's all I had on my rundown. Jeff, anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I think we covered all the topics of the week. It's been fantastic, Mike. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and, sorry for me rambling on about all the tech stuff. But hey, that's part of the show. Yeah, Todd should be back next week. And if not, I'll try to find somebody else on staff that wants to record with me. So, but it's been cool the last couple of times here. I had John from our support team on a couple weeks ago, and then you this week. And I want to get Barry on here. I think he'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You should also make sure that the listeners know that we're doing this over Skype, and I'm in New York and you're in Michigan. So, right, exactly. You know, everything is possible.
Oh, yeah. And Todd and I do them between Hawaii and Michigan every couple of weeks. And you know, it's great. And, you know, we could hear a little ambiance in your background there, but that's good. You're home not in a professional studio.
No, I'm not.
All right, Jeff, will you keep up the good work there?
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
All right. And if you guys want to get a hold of us here at Your Podcast, it's yourpodcast@blueberry.com. I'm mike@blueberry.com. And Jeff, what is your email?
Blueberry? I am jeff@rawvoice.com.
Yeah, there you go. He's got one of the old Raw Voice addresses. Been around a while.
Yeah, I'm old as dirt.
Yeah, I'm a little older than that. All right, catch you later.
All right, bye, Mike.